money your Lord? Is fame your Lord? Is status your Lord? Are you in a competition? Because you've seen some of the people in your year group here, there, making it, and you're also trying to become relevant. Who is your Lord? So the reason why I go for him is that he's the one that I've confessed and accepted as my Lord and my Savior. That is why I choose him. And he calls it the excellency of the knowledge of God. My God, until you come to a place in your life when things begin to buffet you, you come to a place in life where the tempests are tossing and the waves are strong and the winds, you cannot withstand it. Until you come to a place in life when everything is negative and everything seems to be pushing you to the wall, that's when you understand the excellency of the knowledge of God. That's where you come to understand why this world was formed by that word. That's why you come to see the supremacy of the knowledge of God over all things. Think about those moments when your heart was almost broken and your life has no hope. And we're heading towards a direction that you didn't know. You've come to the edge of life and you are almost being pushed over the cliff to die. And one scripture gave you hope. One scripture. One word of God. Think about the millions of people that wake up in the morning and don't want to go to work on Monday. What they've been through, they just don't want to go to work. Sit by the same desk, work with the same people. Being supervised by the same bullies. And you don't want to do anything, but you have to go. And then at your morning devotion, you were reading your scriptures and God inspired you so much and told you how your end is going to be better than your beginning. And told you, you go through fire, you go through water, I'm standing by you, you're not alone. I'm going to help you. This will not be your story. It's going to get better. Think about when the enemies in the family rose up and ganged against you. And you can tell that these people in the family are the people that work against people in the family. And God told you that 1,000 will fall on your left and 10,000 on your right. And only with your eyes will you see the reward of the wicked. The knowledge of God is powerful and priceless. When you know him, there are certain things you will never worry about. When we talk about marriage, the reason why some people have issues and problems all the time in marriage is that they have failed to apply the knowledge of God in the marriage. Simple. Simple. When God talks to people about woman, go and submit. If she's submitting, nothing will happen. Man loves your wife. Love your wife. If he's loving, nothing is going to happen. That does not make them people that are perfect. They will make mistakes. And when the mistakes come, they can decide that we will apply the same word of God to forgive. Some people walked up to Jesus and said, so how many times do I have to forgive? He said that 70 times 7, and he meant it. He didn't mean one time, two times, three times, 70 times 7. What is 70 times 7? Somebody help me. Math. Amen. What? 490. That is how much forgiveness you owe each person. Look at your neighbor. So if you are in a marriage and you think that somebody, my husband did something, my wife did something, and I've forgiven him once, twice, thrice, I won't forgive again. You are not in scripture. And that's why there are chaos. Do you know the reason why he said 70 times 7? He said, I forget it. Just forget it and forgive. Are you going to count this? Look at the number here. If I'm to sit down to forgive each one of you 470, 90 times, and I'm doing that, so that means that Mr. Kukubo, he has done one thing, I forgive. I'm marking after 490, I will not forgive him again. Who can work that math out? So he simply meant forget it. The reason why there's so much struggle is because of that. Husband did something, wife did something, the guy is holding it against us. He will never let go. I once counseled a couple and I saw this guy coming up with so many things, and he would turn, there was something, he's sitting at my hall in my couch and he would do this. Pastor, then he would do this. I was like, brother, what is there? What is in my couch? Now he's holding this small diary, and everything the lady has done, he has it in it. Listen, challenges come to life not because Satan is strong. You will encounter problems not because the devil is powerful or your family have witches, many of them. You will encounter problems because the directive God has given unto you that when things happen, do it this way, you are not willing. That's just the reason why. You'll never be poor. If the directives God has given concerning finances, you will follow it. If the directives God has given concerning love, somebody did something, you want to do something, but you want to pay them back. God said that love covereth the multitude of sins. So you've been hurt. It's understandable. Your heart is broken. You are disappointed, but let it go. If you love the person, if you have love in your heart, you won't walk to one person, to another person, to another person, and expose the person to everybody. Don't go talk about it. But he's a Christian. He goes to church. He has a Bible. He pays his tithe. He prays. He does his morning devotion, but wants everybody to know that this person has done something against me. That is the problem of Christianity. He wants you to forget it. He wants to apply it. If you want to know or see if you are in the will of God, you are not in the will of God. Look at everything you are applying after being hurt. Everything you are doing because you feel emotionally to do. And ask yourself, what did God say about this? Look at your choices and look at what has the Lord said about this. If you want to see that you are a true Christian and you follow God, and I wondered last night, myself and mommy were having a conversation, and I was saying that there are so many Christians that their problem is this. God tells them, do this that way. And they said, no, this one is too much for me. I can't do this one. And then they will turn and say, Father, bless me. Lord, bless my life. Amen. A woman who doesn't want to respect and honor the husband. She doesn't, her responsibilities to her are too much. I can't do this. Especially in a world where we have been taught how you can also, you are also just a person in authority, you can exercise authority and you are equal with the man in a society like that. Her goal is even to become equal to a man. Hello, that's her goal in life. Women, I've told you, they love leveling up. So she's thinking, my husband has this, I must have some. My husband does this, I should do the same. My husband goes to this, he has the freedom to do this and that, I must have the same. And when she's thinking like that, hallelujah, how are you going to be able to control that woman? And it's all an error. All of it an error. So by what the husband did, what the wife did, she's angry, the man is angry, and she's not doing the things she's supposed to do. And God said that, well, forgive her 490 times. Said that, now this one there, and she has loaded it. Can I talk to the ladies? And by the way, you're in Friday. You see, men are super. And I'll tell you why. A man can fight with a person right now, toe to toe, headbutt one another, and in the next 10 minutes, they'll be eating together. That is supremacy. Women, it's a generational curse. They won't talk again. Their children won't talk again. Their grandchildren won't talk. Hallelujah. She will pass it on from one person to another. Do you see why God placed men in leadership? Because if men cannot forgive like women, this world will be in chaos. He knew exactly what he was doing. A woman will carry it on. Amen. And I'm a husband. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Sometimes mommy will say, you know, this thing, the other time you did, and I'm saying, hey, mommy, forget. You know how many things you have done and I forget? But because I don't talk about it. Hallelujah. Women, do this, please. Bible believing women, stop it. Stop it. You were made by God. Hallelujah. Male and female created he them. Stop it. Forgive people. Let it go. Look at your family. It's in a mess. The extended family. The whole thing is in a mess. Because something, somebody, their grandmother became angry with something. Sometimes when your mother doesn't want to talk to somebody and you talk to the person, she's looking at you some way. burning, church. Stop it. Before you destroy your homes. Stop it. Maybe some preachers will not be able to tell you that, but I will tell you. Because I solve marital problems. Stop it. Maybe I said any free beer, maybe I say, even I did buy a woo. Only sad you know, now you're free. In Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
Are you with me?
Yes.
Somebody say 490 times. What problem? Jesus, hallelujah. Jesus, between a reverse and I and a three. That's what the Lord says. Everything, can you keep the scripture there for me? All the things. All things. Somebody say all things. This is what Paul is doing. You know, he doesn't pick or choose. Everything he counts as loss, and what he thinks is a gain, what he believes is a gain, what he knows is a gain, is that he wants to have the excellency of the knowledge of Christ, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. Wow. Do you think our world will have problems and churches will have problems and marriages will have problems if everybody aspired to be like what Paul is talking about? And please don't do that. Hey, he's Paul and he's not me. Paul is going to face judgment. You will face judgment also. God is going to be scrutinized by the way he applied the word of God to his life. What are churches for? To make people better. That's what churches are for. To mold them into the nature and the stature of Christ. To let them believe when nobody believes. To help them rise over doubts and have great hope. To bring them to places where people can never get to without God. To let them live with a certain understanding that nobody will survive. Somebody will get a depression. Somebody will commit suicide. Somebody will go to prison. But the believer will not, because they have the excellency of the knowledge of Christ. That's what church is for. That's what being a believer is about. All things. Now, just so that you don't get confused about the all things that Paul is talking about, let's deal with three areas that involves all things. The things God wants you to count dung and to go for the excellency of his knowledge. Hallelujah. We can put all of them under these three things. One, plans. The plans you have in life. The knowledge of Christ should be supreme to that. What are your plans? And when we began this year, what was your plan? And how far, buddy? When he speaks about all, your plans are in that. Pastor, are you saying I should count my plans dung? Well, because they may be your plans, but not necessarily God's plan for your life. So if you are holding on to your plans and your hands are full, then you cannot embrace the plan of God for your life. And that's the problem. Can you ask Christians, are you sure you are working in the plan of God for your life? And listen to the answer. Many are doing their own thing. They saw something on the internet about a certain opportunity somewhere, and then they started following it. A friend told them about this and that is going on in Antigua. This and that and that and that and that you can get when you go to Belize. If you found yourself in Dubai, this and that are the opportunities. And she packed up and got there. Somebody told them about something that is available in Germany, and they just followed. Whether that was God's plan or not, that doesn't matter. He's a Christian. He's doing his own thing. The Holy Ghost should back it up and make it successful. So plans must be such that something exceeds, the value of something exceeds the plan in a man's life. Bible says that many are the plans of a man. It is the purpose.
purpose of God that will be established. That is frightening. I might have plans, but the Bible says what God will do and will be interested in, it is a purpose for your life. So it means that I can go and go and go and go, and I'll be doing my own thing. And because that is not the purpose of God for your life, he will not be part of it. All things work together for good to them that love God and those who live according to his purpose. Everything works together for them. You can call something a failure, a loss, but it will work together for them because it is part of God's purpose. They live for God's purpose. They live for reasons God has given unto them. Then he said, everything will work together for them. Everything will work. All things will work together for such people because they love him. And they live according to his purpose. That's why God has brought you, has saved you and brought you to church. Hallelujah. So that all things work together for you. And it surely will work together for you. So your plans. And then people. People. The things that you must count them lost. He's saying that sometimes you must lose a plan of yours. And sometimes you must lose some people. Because you can be so attached to some people. They will define your day, your week, your month. You are too attached. Either you love them so much, or there is some kind of a sentimental whatever between you. You care for them so much that when they don't pray, you won't pray. When they don't go to church, you won't go to church. You fall in love so much that he doesn't go to the prayer meeting, you will not be there. People, some people, in order for you to have life and to have gains in life, you have to lose some people to gain some people. May the Lord take out all the people in your life that bring losses in the name of Jesus and plant people that bring you gain in life.
Now some people have to let them go. I look at the youth and the young people and sometimes I'm laughing. You think friends are great? Wait until you are 70. And see how many friends you have. There is something that has crept into our system that I'm always warning people about. You see, the believer, God told us right from the beginning, I am your God. Things are going to happen in your life. You're going to have things in life. You're going to enjoy a certain life, not because you are strong, not because you are mighty, not because you are powerful. But those things are going to happen to you because I am your God. In Chi, there is a statement they make. They said, if God is the only one you are standing with, he's enough. Amen. But people who don't go to church, people who don't believe in God, will now have to manufacture a way by which they have assurance that all through life, I will have support. So they come up with things. They come up with so many things. And people read that and they begin to believe in that rather. When my last dime is all I have, I know that God is the provider. Because of that, he gave them so many names about himself because he wanted assurance so that they don't think that at a certain point there will be something in my life that I need that God cannot provide. So he said that I'm Jehovah Jireh. In those moments when you need, I will provide. He said, I'm Jehovah Nissi. In those moments when you feel unprotected and naked, I will protect you. I'll give you the victory. Then he said, I'm Jehovah Rapha. When you are sick, I will heal you. He's not saying that medicine is not good, drugs are not good. He created everything. He said that eat the fruit, use the bark of the tree and the leaves for healing. So God has spoken about all of that. But I heal also. So if you think because of your health, you need to have some people in your life and they came into your life and they are messing you up, but you want healing. And so you think I must keep these people, let them go. I'm your healer. Then he said, I'm Jehovah Tzidkenu, your righteousness. So many names. I'm Adonai, Elohim. He gives so many names unto us because he wants to cover all.
So in life, what you want is the excellency of knowing him and working with him, not building support systems all around you. Now they call it networking and joining people, making friends. So you can make friends and have friends who do not inspire you to become spiritually strong. Friends who are not helping you in your spiritual growth. People that are in your life, they turn up at your engagement. They turn up at your wedding. And all of them are weak in Christianity. And they are your friends. They never call you and say that tonight, let us all pray at 12 o'clock. So we are connected. We are praying at 12. They don't do that. They're talking about what is in town. They're talking about the ladies. They're talking about the best guy in town. They're talking about how somebody has become rich. And we want to be like him. That's all they do. They talk about the watch the man had, the car the man had. Have you seen his mansion? That's all they do. And we are networking because in future they will be there for me. Please. I'm not saying it is not good to have friends. What I'm saying is that have God first. Have his knowledge first. Because whatever area in your life that somebody has to come in and fill, he has already told you by his name that I'm there. I'm going to do it. So people prioritize friendship and working with people more than God. There are people that were so straight, so far on fire for God, and they got into some friendships, hallelujah, and they have become weak. You're prioritizing meetings with friends and doing things with eating together to meeting together to eat and all those things more than finding solitude and growing in Christ and becoming stronger. God can speak to somebody to do something powerful in your life. So those who cherish such mentality is because they haven't really understood. Friendship is good, but anything that makes you weaker in following God, whatever does not build your devotion and whatever does not use the word of God as a construct of your life, a denominator that comes into your life and it is not helping you and your associates, hallelujah, to grow stronger, you are warned. The world will call it build networks. God will call it be devoted to me. So if you have done that first and you are friends, that's wonderful. You get to 70 years and all of them are gone. There's nobody there. It's left with you. And if you built your life well and prepared well and understood this world, mark the end of a perfect man. His end is always peace. So build your relationship with God. Some people have to go. Build your devotion to God. It's more important than thousands. In a world of likes, hallelujah, and shares, be sure that God is supreme, hallelujah, and the knowledge of him. So it should not become, as long as I have friends and people who love me, the future is okay. No, it should be as long as I have God on my side. Because there will be friends. Some of them will be closer, but they will even deny you. Peter denied Jesus. The lady said that, this man, he's one of them. Say, hey, I don't know him. 3 times. Now, another thing that God is also talking about has to do with your possessions. You should be willing to sacrifice plans, sacrifice possessions, sacrifice some people. And then when you do that, hallelujah, praise the Lord, you can embrace the excellency of the knowledge of God. And later on, I won't do it today, but as this preaching goes on, I'll show you what the excellency of the knowledge of God does to a person. You struggling in life. We are who Christo ni bebreya. Hallelujah. These days, you don't have what you are talking about. You have no idea what you are talking about. You're saying that the word that created the world has no power to fix your life? Is that what you are thinking? The things God has said that so many, remind you, when God says something and you are having doubts with it or somebody is having problems with what God has said, another person somewhere in Philippines, somewhere, hallelujah, is applying that and getting all the blessings in it. Amen. The fact that you don't like it doesn't mean somebody else is not liking it. Somewhere in India, somewhere in Thailand, somebody somewhere in Lomé
somebody somewhere in Benin, Nigeria, somebody somewhere in Ghana. That is all they know. The very thing you are struggling with, that's all they know. And they are seeing the product of that excellency. They're reaping for it. They know the value. Amen. Possessions. There are things you have to let go. Turn a blind eye to all of them because you want to know God and to live for Him. Now, our world today is a world that makes information comes to us so quickly. You know, so you can see something. It's like, yo, this one I must have some. By now I should have had some. Amen. Possessions, money, cars, buildings. Amen. Last Sunday I was telling them, I think they beamed it here, so you also heard it. If they say somebody did not build a house, for me that's not a big deal. I respect him, I respect the person who built a house. I respect both of them. And the reason for my respect for a man that they might say, went to me and see that important to when you hide dying. And my reason for respecting that person is that he's in scripture. The scripture said he sat down and waited to see if he's able to complete it and saw that I can't. So he did not go into it. It's a scriptural basis that matters to me. Not the sentiments of people. They are people. Amen. What God knows, they do not know. They don't know what is going to happen on the 18th of November, 2026. They have no idea. But God knows. Amen. Hallelujah. Possessions. We are driven so much by what we want to possess. And sometimes you feel like you are left behind. I met my friend and my friend said this, and when I saw my friend, hey, this guy, the way he has blown, oh my God, this friend of, oh. Sometimes some of them say, the guy has blown. Toy. Do you know what God can do in your life? If you walked with him, He owns all things.
Blessed be the name of the Lord, who by his grace has furnished us with such great word so that our lives will be directed and we will be able to live the life that he wants us to live and get to the destinations that he has ordained for us. And so we want to thank you so much for being part of this broadcast. We really cherish your listenership as this goes a long way to fulfill the mandate that God has given unto us as a church.
Worship with us at Grace Heights Chapel every Sunday, 8 a.m. and 11 a.m., very close to Milan on the Asquanyu Road. God bless you.
Any one of these services on Sunday will go a long way to bless your life and lift you to the level where the week that follows, you'll be able to live it to the full and enjoy life. It's not all about enduring. It's about enjoying also the life that God has given unto you. On Wednesday evenings, we meet at 6 o'clock for our teaching services, which starts and then it ends at 8 p.m. And then on Fridays we have a prayer meeting, a very intense prayer time that starts at 6 p.m. and ends at 8 p.m. You are warmly welcome to be part of any of these services. And if listening to us and being part of this broadcast is also blessing you, I would want to encourage you to speak to other people, tell your family, tell your friends to be tuning in at that same time and be blessed by the word of the Lord that comes from his holy presence. And in any case, if you also want to be a blessing to the ministry, to help us to be able to consistently keep bringing you this word of the Lord, you're invited to send us your contributions by Momo to MTN 0595-823-723. I want to repeat it, 0595-823-723.